I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Full Contact Catholic Radio. Our program's not right versus left. It's right versus wrong. And this is where Catholicism and the culture intersect. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. TJ Show. It also stands for Truth and Justice.
Amen.
It also stands for Totally Jesus. Terry, are you reporting for duty?
I'm reporting to duty, sir. And Jesse, I have to thank our listeners and our supporters to be able to do this every day. We get up out of bed with one focus. How do we get closer to Jesus, and how do we bring souls to Christ and his bride, the church? That's what we're doing here at Virgin Most Powerful. But I love the best part of our show, Jesse, is bringing forth what we call soul food, the Bible, because this is the readings from the gospel of every daily mass. So I would like to ask Jesse to read from the gospel of Matthew and continue on that, which we do every single day here at Virgin Most Powerful.
Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, this section of the gospel is called the parable of the sower. Mm-hmm. So who is the sower? Well, historically, the sower is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the sower. And so what's the seed? The seed is the word of God, both what Jesus speaks and also what's recorded in the Bible. And in today's gospel, you're going to see he talks about four types of grounds, okay? Four different types of grounds.
Soil, yep.
Or soil. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that, or you should ask yourself, which one am I? Here we go.
Okay? That's a good one.
Which one am I? I'll tell you which one you don't want to be is the first three.
Yep.
You definitely want to be the last one.
Amen.
On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. By the way, the word sea is also a reference in the Bible in the Old Testament to the Gentile nations or to Gentiles. So it's interesting that Jesus Christ sat down by the sea. In other words, he's also going to reach the Gentiles. Mm. Such large crowds gathered around him, and he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path. Now, he's talking about himself. He's a sower. He's the ultimate sower. Some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Okay? So that's the first type of person that hears the word of God and allows the word to just eat it up and take it away. Second type of person, some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. There it is. Second type of person hears the word of God, but it doesn't bear fruit it because it didn't take root in their soul. Third type of person that hears the word of God. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. In other words, some people allow all the worldly concerns and everything about the world, the allurement and just all the fascination with the worldly things, to choke off their faith, choke off the word of God. Fourth category, but some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30. Whoever has ears ought to hear the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus in the gospels usually ends a lot of his sayings with whoever has ears ought to hear. In other words, as Catholics, we've only got one chance in this lifetime to get it right. You hear the word of God at Mass. You hear it when you read the Bible. You hear the word of God through sacred tradition. You hear the word of God when you pray. What are you going to do about it? Okay, are you going to be the first three, or are you going to be the last one that receives and obeys? Only the last person that receives and obeys the word of God will be saved.
Well said. And you know, Jesse, that's the bottom line. That's why we encourage, and our church encourages us to read the Gospels, read the good news of Jesus Christ. The church encourages us to pray, because I'm going to tell you, the saints have told us, Jess, if you don't pray, you're not going to be saved. And the other thing is
very clear.
And the other element is receiving the sacraments. So we've been talking about that for years. And how do you have those deep roots? By doing all three of those things. Look at the church right now, Jesse. The statistics show, 7.8 people leave for every person that comes in. Why are people leaving the church?
Brutal.
They have no roots. They have no grounding in the faith. And so this gospel really lays out how to stay close to Christ. The Bible reading, your prayer, keeping close to the sacraments, praying, all these things you have to do. If you don't do them, you'll be lost because you'll have no roots. So I love this gospel.
St. Alphonsus Liguori, right in the catechism, is quoted. It's very clear.
Yeah, he's the one.
He's one of the doctors of the church. He's the moral theologian. Mm-hmm. He says, those who pray will be saved. That's those who don't pray will be damned.
Yep.
Simple. He says it very clear in one sentence.
Yep. He's a great saint. And I would recommend just a point. There's a book called The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori. If you want to get some good stuff on the Blessed Mother, go to St. Alphonsus Liguori. Wow, Jess, that gospel that you just read is so profound for us today. It's always profound anytime, but I just think of it right now in the church. And here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, we want you to have those deep roots dug in so that you will produce. And as the gospel says, whoever has ears ought to hear. Well, guess what with radio? You're hearing the Word of God. You're hearing us ask you to go to the sacraments, to pray. And I believe that that's one of the missions of what we at Virgin Most Powerful are trying to help you do, fall deeper
love God,
in love.
Save souls, slay error.
You got
that's
it,
what
Jess.
We do every day.
You got it.
Terry, and I'll tell you why this is so important, because we just quoted Bishop Barron yesterday, who was quoting a study. I mean, he's the USCCB bishop, director of evangelization and catechesis. He says, like you said, for every Catholic that comes into the church, 6.45 are leaving.
Wow.
That's we're
terrible
bleeding
ratio.
Out Catholics. We have to stop this. Now, I know one of the things that I do know, Terry.
What's that?
Is that Joseph Ratzinger later became Pope Benedict. He did talk to us that there will be a remnant church.
1969, a radio interview. You got it.
Yeah, the church is going to get much smaller, but it will get much stronger. So let's just hope and pray that we're part of that remnant church. Pray that you're part of it. Because again, that was the prophecy that he made back. I don't even realize how prophetic he may have understood when he said it back in 1969, Terry.
That's right. Jesse, rather than bringing Bishop Sheen into the room, I have a great love for St. Charbel.
Let's bring somebody else in.
Yeah, St. Charbel's feast day is today. He was born in 1828, died in 1898 in a small village mountain in Lebanon. As you know, I'm half Lebanese, so maybe that might have something to do with my devotion. But he was very devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He spent 23 years of his life as a hermit. And then after praying for 23 years, he came out and power preached. I thought, wow, he got that right. But here's the beautiful story about him. I mean, we can talk about how oil oozed out of his body and he was incorrupt. All that was great. But here's the story I was told by one of the priests here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, who's a Melkite priest. He told me many stories about St. Charbel, but the one that I really like, Jesse, is his zeal for evangelization. What happened is, in Lebanon, there's a shrine to St. Charbel after he died. It's a famous shrine. Thousands of people go there. And in this particular case in the 1980s, this priest told me that there was a family who was Muslim who came to St. Charbel's shrine at midnight. They walked. Well, they knocked on the door of the monastery saying, hey, I want to see a priest. We want to become Christian. Well, why? Because only one monk answers the door at midnight. Everybody else is sleeping. They said, well, the Blessed Mother and our Lord and Jesus came and told us about the real true religion, which is Christianity, and we want to become Catholic. So, let us in. And the particular monk said, well, let me ask you some questions. Well, started catechizing them, teaching them the faith, but they knew it. And this particular monk said, well, you know what? You know the faith. It's called infused knowledge. They knew everything about the Catholic faith. That doesn't happen very often. Wow. So the monk baptized them in the early hours of the morning at the monastery and then said, look, come back for the 8 o'clock mass. And now you can receive Holy Communion. Okay? Yeah, we will. So the family comes to the monastery at 8 o'clock for the Mass, and sees all the monks and goes up and says, "Hey, you know, we're Catholic now, we're Christian, and we were baptized late last night." And the other monk looks and goes, "What do you mean you were baptized? We didn't have anything going on last night. But let me look in the book where we have registers of who's baptized and by what priest you're baptized by." Well, guess what, everybody? By the monk went and looked and said, "This family was baptized at 1 o'clock in the morning by Charbel. What? The guy had been dead for 80 some years. Well, why do I tell that story, Jesse? It's because God is outside of time, and this he's using Padre Pio and other saints to convert people, because I look at it this way. We're not doing a good enough job, so God's asking the saints that have gone before us to come back and give a little help in evangelization. So that's Saint Charbel. Please pray for us and Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We also have a great love for Our Lady. But Saint Charbel is a powerful intercessor. I would encourage you to Google his name, because there's many more stories like the one I just gave you.
Jeff? Terry, the Lebanese Catholics, they say that Saint Charbel has a particular powerful intercession for people that have eye problems,
You know the miracle.
Yeah.
Tell him.
Yeah, he appeared over here in Phoenix, Arizona. Oh. Saint Charbel came over here to Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah.
And what happened?
There was a lady by the name of Daphne Gutierrez who's been blind for 10 years.
Yeah.
She was blind at the age of 20.
Okay.
She went to the Divine Liturgy at at a Maronite Catholic, St. Joseph's Maronite Catholic Church in downtown Phoenix. And the Maronite priest prayed over her. She went to confession, went to the Divine Liturgy, prayed over her with a relic of St. Charbel. She went home. She was still blind. 3 days later, she wakes up screaming at midnight that her eyes are burning.
Unbelievable.
Her husband wakes up. They turn on the light, and she has 20/20 vision. This has been certified by two eye doctors.
It.
She was completely blind for 10 years. She has 20/20 vision, and Bishop Olmsted has also certified this miracle.
St. Charbel, pray for us. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to The Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to The Terry and Jesse Show. We have Brad on the line, but I always like to say that Jesse and I, we're too inspired to be tired, okay? We're too protected to be dejected, and we're too renewed to be subdued. That's why we're fired up, man. Jess, I got a friend who I called yesterday, Brad, who's a monthly donor, and he told me a story. I said, dude, you got to give us a call on tomorrow's radio show because you're standing up for life. You're standing up for moral teachings. So, Brad, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thanks, Terry. Praise be Jesus Christ, you guys.
Now and forever, brother. Hey, Brad, tell us your situation from yesterday. You shared some story that I thought I wanted everybody to hear. So tell us a little bit about yourself and then what you were doing. Go ahead.
Well, I'm from Minneapolis. I was away from the church for probably 20 years.
Yeah.
So a couple of years ago, my sister's a Carmelite nun in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, great.
Wow. My mother's prayers got my behind back to
good.
Where it needs to be.
Good.
Church. And
amen.
So anyway, I just like to thank them for that, first of all. And I was our company, we usually buy Twins tickets every couple of years, take a couple hundred people to the game, and this Twins ticket guy would call me once in a while here and there and ask me if I want to buy tickets. And so I decided to give this guy a call, and I said, you know what, buddy?
Brad, are you still with us? All right, we're going to have Brad. We broke up, so he's going to have to call back. This story is something, Jesse, that it's a stand-up-for-Jesus moment. We don't want to miss
I can already tell. Well, we'll wait till he calls back.
So let's continue then. We'll get Brad back on the line.
Yeah. Our engineer will tell us when he's back.
Yep, you got it. Go ahead.
Harry, there's a good news story. There's a good Catholic that works for the USCCB, and that's good to hear.
Yes.
Her name is Judy King. She's the director of the USCCB's Conference Office of Public Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And since 2016, she's been sharing tweets and likes on her personal account.
Yeah, her personal one, noted.
Yeah, but it does identify her as the director of public affairs with the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. But she says the opinions are my own. And there's been a couple of series of tweets enthusiastically backing President Donald Trump's his policies and what he's done, and also striking out at Democrats, including Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York and Senator Kamala Harris of California because of their pro-abortion and pro-infanticide socialist stances. And Judy King, she's taken a little bit of flack. She's taken a little bit of flack by the left because they're saying, hey, you work for the USCCB. Why are you putting out these pro-Trump tweets? Hey, you know what? She's doing it on her private account. And last time I checked, all of us are afforded, based on the Constitution, freedom of speech. And I'm sure there's people that work for the USCCB that are pro-Kamala Harris and pro-Democrat socialists as well. Hey, they can give their opinions as well. But the fact of the matter is, I'm glad to see such a woman of such a sterling character working in such a high-profile position with the USCCB. Well, way to go, Judy King.
Yeah, Judy, let me know when you lose your job. I'd like to hear from you. Hey, we've got Brad. Brad was just telling us, I'm serious, Jesse. Brad was telling us that he's a fallen away Catholic who came back a couple years ago from his prayers of his mother and aunt, who's a Carmelite nun. You had me on the edge of your chair. You were saying you bought some tickets for a Twin baseball game for your company, and then we lost you, Brad. Are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm with you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you go. Yep. You continue, brother. We got to hear this.
All right. Sorry about that. Yeah, it was my mom and my sister, not my aunt. But anyway, hey, so I called this guy, and I said, well, sir, I said, we can't buy the tickets for this game because you guys are having a gay pride night. I said, do you understand what that is? He says, yeah, it's loving thy neighbor and all this. I said, no, buddy. I said, that's from Satan himself. I said, you can't do that. I said, let me tell you something. I said, you know anything about the commandments? Yeah, love thy neighbor. I said, no, that's lust, my friend. That is lust. Nothing to do with love. It's totally against God. Went into all the things about
sure.
You know, the man and a woman, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I asked him, what did he say?
Where does it say in the Bible, sodomize thy neighbor? Where's that in the Bible?
I
must have missed it.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I know where it's at. It's in First Illusions chapter 1.
Yeah, no doubt. So I said, well, hey, my brother, the only reason I'm telling you this because I want you in heaven with me. And he says, man, if there's people like you in heaven, I don't want to be there. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, brother. But I'm just telling you this because I love you, and I will just keep praying for you.
Wow.
Anyway, that's the kind of garbage we put up with. But then, so yeah.
Bradley, that's a stand-up for Jesus moment and a stand-up for Jesus story. I applaud you and take my hat off to you, brother.
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate it. I take my hat off to you guys every day. You guys are fighting for us, and we love you.
All right, brother.
So here's what I was getting. So we went to the thing last night. We went to the game, my brother and I, after we went to Adoration and Mass.
Yes.
And we couldn't find a place to park, so we did some drive-by evangelization.
Good.
We went and... So we drove by all the crowds and just, you know, shouted out, pride is evil, turn to Jesus. Pride came before the fall, you know, pride. Faith from the devil, and they use the term pride, you know.
Yeah.
It's just so sad, and so we love our brothers and sisters and want them to come to the truth. So,
amen, brother.
Can I just make a couple points for a couple of real good charities?
Yep.
Help the Helpless, Father Altier here in town.
Yes.
Awesome priest.
He's a great man.
He is. Wow.
Yeah, his charity in Ecuador, India.
Yes.
They $20 a month for a child.
Yes.
And if you sponsor a family, they have to go to church. So you're not only saving their stomach, you're saving their soul.
Well said.
It's awesome. So
good job.
Help the Helpless. And the other one is Haiti 180. Sean Forrest down there is doing an awesome job. Same thing. They go to church, adoration.
Awesome.
They're teaching them the right things to do. And I just want to do a couple plugs for those guys.
Thanks, Brad. Now, you keep doing what you're doing. And
man, I'm glad this guy's on our team, Terry.
Got it, man.
Oh, yeah. We're fighting for you guys. We'll be in heaven together soon.
Amen, brother. It won't be long.
You're right.
Life is short. Eternity is forever. Thanks, Brad, for calling in.
Rounding third base, my friend.
Yep. And thanks for being a monthly supporter, too.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let me say one thing to the listeners.
Yeah.
If you guys, you can put ads out for Terry and Jesse. They're short of money. Do what you can do. Put ads in the paper. Get a spot from Terry or Jesse.
Sure.
They'll send it to you. Put it on your radio station in your area. These guys need help. We need to get Terry and Jesse shown to everybody.
You got it.
So that's what I got to say. So.
All right, man.
This guy's a good man, Terry.
Yeah,
God
Brad,
bless
thanks
you.
Again. It was good chatting with you last night,
Thank
too, bro.
You guys. Love you guys.
Love you too now. Bye-bye.
God bless
Keep
you. Love you, brother.
Wow, Jess, that's the kind of supporters we have. You wonder why Virgin Most Powerful is powerful? It's because of people like him who have been promoting us, praying for us, and they also write us a check each month. And if you haven't if you want to be part of our team, Team Jesus here, give me a call. I even give my cell number out. People, you want to support us? Call me at 661.
That's right.
972.
That's exactly what we are. Team Jesus.
Team Jesus.
We're also part of MMA, Mother Mary's Army.
That's right, brother.
You could call us either one, Team Jesus or MMA.
Yep.
We'll answer to either one.
You got it. Wow.
But, you know, the way that the devil just turns these words around, you know, the LGBTQR, alphabet community, they've used the term, and you'll hear the liberals use it, just like right now our brother was in a conversation he had. They'll tell you, love wins.
Yep.
They've tried to rip off... This God is love.
Yep.
Okay. What do we mean love? We agree that love wins. In fact, St. John of the Cross, he says, at the evening of our life, we shall be judged on our love. Yes, we'll be judged on our love. We're not going to be judged on our lust. Lust is going to send you to hell, unconfessed. We're not going to be judged on sodomy. Unconfessed sodomy will send you to hell. We're going to be judged on our love. What is love? The catechism says love is to will and desire the best for another person.
Thomas.
Well, let me tell you something. Willing and desiring the best for another person doesn't mean risking another person to get AIDS or contracting AIDS yourself.
That's right.
That's not willing and desiring the best for another person. That's sheer animal lust. That's all that is, Terry.
You nailed it. Hey, when Brad said about advertising, I forgot to mention, if you are a Catholic business and you want to advertise on Virgin Most Powerful, give me a call at 8. My number is 877-526-2151. I'd love to chat with you about that. Jesse, I've got some good news. It was sad news, but good news because it turned out to be good. Young woman, teenager with child, she's talking to her boyfriend. The boyfriend says, listen, you need to abort that baby. She says, no, I'm going to have that baby. So what does the teenage boy do? Shoots the woman in the face. Really? You know?
Howard.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly, Jesse.
Howard.
And so now Naomi She now is 8 months after the baby's been born. She really considers the baby a miracle. Now, she's going to schools to talk with other teens about domestic violence. And I say this because this little girl didn't acquiesce to her boyfriend's wishes, and I consider her really heroic in doing that. And now speaking out against domestic violence. How many times will you hear that from Planned Parenthood? No way they're not going to want to show you, tell you that good news story. No way. So anyhow, that's my good news story, Jess.
Yeah. Terry, also, just it's good to know, going back to this, Judy King.
Right, Judy King.
Who works for the USCCB.
Yep, right now
she's
she does.
Spokeswoman for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the director of the conference's Office of Public Affairs.
Yep.
In her private tweets, she's been saying stuff that is common sense. She says, hey, under President Trump, lowest unemployment rate ever. Incredibly robust economy under President Trump.
Yep.
She writes, facts are stubborn things beyond a typo.
Yeah.
She says, she lists a site showing all President Trump's accomplishments, including Trump takes shackles off ICE, which is slapping them on immigrants who thought they were safe, rescinded DACA. And the fact of the matter is, not everybody's very happy with her. James Rogers, the chief communications officer for the USCCB, said on Wednesday, that's Judy King's boss, he said, the bishops, not staff, set the conference's federal policy positions. We should be mindful not to create confusion as to where the bishops might be on any particular policy issue. The conference is nonpartisan and does not endorse political candidates. We take this very seriously. And he said, Judy is on leave this week.
Interesting.
I'm just wondering Judy was forced to take some time off because she spoke clarity with charity on her personal account, Terry, by the way.
Absolutely. Hey, I just want to recommend that everybody look up paragraph 1562 in the Catechism regarding the ordination of priests and co-workers with the bishops. And the reason I say that, Bishop Strickland, who's the Bishop of Tyler, Texas, spoke out on Twitter over the weekend about how the Catholic Church moral teachings on sexuality and family have been broken and tainted of late, and he called for a return to the truth of the teachings by the Catholic laity and bishops. Basically, he called out his brother bishop, saying the deposit of faith has been fragmented and corrupted. So why are we calling our bishops to become better bishops? Because that's the role of the laity here. And when we come back, we've got some quotes about some saints about sodomy, and that what every Catholic should know about that. Why? Because just like our brother,
we should hear these
Brad,
quotes from the pulpit, Terry.
No, but
these
you won't.
Quotes should be proclaimed from the pulpit.
Well, when we come back, you're going to get them from the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be back. Get yourself a cup of coffee. You're going to need it. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Every single one of us should practice CPR, Catholic Prayer Revival. Hey, we're going to give you a couple of quotes. We can't give them all to you. You could just go on our show page, vnpr.org, or my website to get all these articles that we're drawing from. It's the article's called 12 Quotes Against Sodomy That Every Catholic Should Know, but it's given to us by the saints and the doctors of the church.
Yep.
Let me just give one, and we'll just go back and forth on this. I'm going to go right to the top of the food chain.
Yep.
Here's St. Catherine of Siena. She's a great mystic and a doctor of the church. Lived in troubled times when the papacy was in exile at Avignon, France. She was instrumental in getting the popes back to Rome. Here's what she says. I'll go right to the meat of it. She says, but these wretches, now she's talking about the act of sodomy, but these wretches not only do not bridle this fragility, but do worse, committing that accursed sin against nature. Okay. And as blind as fools, with the light of their intellect darkened, they do not know the stench and misery in which they are. It is not only that this sin, she's talking about the sin of sodomy, two men, okay? It is not only that this sin, sodomy, stinks before me, who am the supreme and eternal truth. It does indeed displease me so much, and I hold it in such an abomination that for it alone I buried five cities by a divine judgment, my divine justice be no longer able to endure it. Let me give you the context. This is God the Father who's speaking to St. Catherine of Siena. This is a locution, and she is writing this, okay? This is in her famous book, Dialogue with God the Father. The book's called Dialogue. God is telling her what he thinks of sodomy. God the Father says, quote, this sin, the sin of sodomy, not only displeases me, as I have said, but also the devils whom these wretches have made their masters. Not that the evil displeases them because they like anything good, but because their nature was originally angelic, and their angelic nature causes them to loathe the sight of the actual commission of this enormous sin. What does that mean? God the Father told St. Catherine of Siena, and it's written in the book, The Dialogues, that demons, when they see two men in the act of sodomy, they love people sinning, obviously, but it's so loathsome even to look at that demons have to turn away.
Okay, we got so many more, but I just want you to know that for 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has been teaching that sodomy is very sinful. So there's never been a time where we haven't condemned it. All right, St. Bernardine of Siena, 1380 to 1444, right? You know, this is a saint that was a famous preacher celebrated for his doctrine and holiness. Now, here's what he said regarding homosexuality. He said, no sin in the world, Jesse, no sin in the world grips a soul as accursed as sodomy. This sin has always been detested by all those who live according to God. Deviant passion is close to madness. This vice disturbs the intellect. It destroys the elevation and generosity of a soul, brings the mind down from great thoughts to the lowest, making the person slothful, irascible, servile, soft, and incapable of anything. Really, that's what we see. Furthermore, agitated by an insatiable craving for pleasure. We call it lust, okay? The person who follows not reason, but a frenzy, but lust, they become blind. And when their thoughts should soar to high and great things, They are broken down and reduced to vile and useless and putrid things, which could never make them happy. Just as people participate in the glory of God in different degrees, check this out, Jess, so also in hell, some suffer more than others. We're fighting people who don't even believe in hell. This saint's saying some people suffer more than other in hell. He who lived with the vice of sodomy suffers more than another. For this is, Jesse, the saint says, the greatest sin. But the Bible says it brings down wrath of God. I mean, how much clearer can we get?
You know what?
That's scary.
Anybody who holds the this saint just said right here that people in hell suffer because of this sin more than others. So that means that people are in hell, according to this saint, and also to the words of Jesus Christ. Very clearly, many are called, few are chosen. I mean, Jesus, four different times he talks about the fact that hell is populated. He doesn't give names, but he certainly indicates that hell is populated. Here's
Jesse, before you go to the next one, I just have to say this as a charity. Do you realize how false mercy is when people don't correct individuals? And here we have priests and bishops who are not calling homosexuals to Christ. They're telling them, it's okay, Johnny, you continue to do that. I pray for them because, Jesse, when I tell you this, I know I've read this to you before, and out of charity, this was done back when St. John Chrysostom said this. He said this, the road to hell is paved with erring priests and with bishops as their signposts. I didn't say it. I just happen to believe when you don't tell people the truth about life and about moral teachings, when you're the responsible person to do it, there's a heck of a culpability. And so that's my point here. The saints have all told us, the Bible has told us, we should be going out and trying to share the good news with people who are living in sin rather than saying it's okay. See, that's the tragedy that I see it. Continue, please.
You know, Terry, I think what a lot of priests should do, it's come to the point where we have to do it. My pastor did it over here at the parish that I attend. He put the catechism on the wall. He bounced it off of a projector.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking, okay, I can picture that. Yeah.
Yeah. He put the on a blank part of the wall, the sanctuary wall.
Sure.
He put paragraphs 2357, 2358, 2350. That was his homily.
Good.
He goes, okay, in case there's any confusion here, this is not me, the pastor. This is what the church teaches and has always taught.
Refreshing.
And he just went through
I love him.
Those three paragraphs. Guess what? A half a dozen to a dozen people got out and stormed out of the church.
Well,
all he was doing, he wasn't even commenting.
It's charity.
He's just saying, let me just read to you what the church says in case you think that I'm inventing something. And at least a dozen people stormed out of the church.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Terry, a lot of this is the fault of our bishops.
That's true.
I'll tell you why. Huh? They're silent on this topic. They're very quiet about it.
They're afraid of people.
Because they're not only are they afraid of it, a lot of them are pro-homosexual, and a lot of them we've discovered are homosexual.
Well, the facts are the facts.
And so this is probably the worst sin right now that's engulfed the Catholic Church. So there's silence on this because a lot of them don't think it's a sin. A lot of them participate in this lifestyle. And just to show you how powerful this has become, look at the lectionary. Look at the American lectionary in the United States.
Now that's, and guess explain what the lectionary is. That's the three-year cycle, right, for us to read at daily mass.
Daily mass
Sunday
readings
masses.
Come from this three-year cycle of readings from a book called the lectionary.
Right.
You'll find that back in the 70s, very quietly, incognito, Romans chapter 1.
Read it.
Like verses 19 to 32.
Yeah.
It was taken out of the lectionary.
Well, what does it say, Jesse, that they were so offended?
That's the clearest passage in the New Testament written by St. Paul that talks about homosexuality and lesbianism as being a grave depravity and a grave offense against God. It is no longer in the three-year Catholic lectionary in the United States. So unless you're a Bible junkie that reads the Bible on your own, if you go to Holy Mass, even every day, you're not going to hear it no more, because I have no doubt that it was homosexuals, probably Bernardine, probably McCarrick and others, that are homosexual or pro-homosexual, they're the ones that were instrumental in taking this out.
Jesse, the facts are the facts. It's an inconvenient fact, what you just gave, and it's very sad. That's why we need to be praying for our leaders in the church. When Bishop Strickland tells us the deposit of faith has been fragmented and corrupted, now you wonder why he's ostracized by his brother bishops. I know for a fact when he goes to the bishops' meetings, nobody wants to talk to him. Nobody wants to sit next to him. You know why? Because he tells it like it is, and that's what we do here. And I understand, Jesse, the facts are the facts, and giving people the facts, sometimes it's hard medicine. But you know what? People who have a same-sex attraction and act on it, we need to tell them the truth about the gospel so that they can get to heaven. Because if they have full consent of the will, knowing it's serious, and they commit these heinous sins, guess what? The chances of them going to hell without true repentance, it ain't going to happen. So out of charity, Jesse, we're telling them to repent just like myself. I went to confession just Saturday. Why? Because I'm a sinner. So I'm calling other sinners out. You know why? Because I want to see them get to heaven, Jess. I love them that much that I'm willing to tell them the inconvenient truth about the good news of Jesus Christ.
Terry, let me give one more inconvenient truth, and this is for all the other heterosexuals. Mm-hmm. And we have to watch ourselves that we don't fall into this.
Yeah.
Here it is. As St. John Paul II says, don't take your wife in intimacy with lust.
Okay? Ooh, yes.
You got to check yourself, guys.
Yep.
All of us have to check ourselves. Are we loving our spouse or are we lusting our spouse?
That was back in the...
That's something that we all have to, yep, as heterosexual men,
right,
we have to make sure what our motives are. And the book of Tobias talks about that.
Yeah.
Tobias, he says, he actually praised, he says, Lord, I pray that I don't take my wife as you know, by way of lust, and I pray that you give me a clean heart. The book of Tobias, that's a good man that shows us that we're called to love our wife, not lust her. That's the first point. And the second point is this, is men, and this is unpopular, but I'm going to have to say it.
Say it.
Don't say that, oh, you know what? That's a homosexual problem. There's no problem with marriage. Guess what, guys? No sodomy's allowed in the sacrament of marriage. What? I'm telling you right now, okay? It says, the theology of the body tells us that certain body parts are made for certain things, okay? And your wife's body parts, there's a proper way to join your wife with your body, and sodomy is not one of them.
Amen. We come back. I'm going to talk about Planned Parenthood and the lies they're putting out, and give you a personal testimony from Dr. Bernard Nathanson telling us it's a big lie. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry, you got some special intel, but let me just, before you give the intel, let me tell you why you're going to share it with us.
You got to set the stage.
Let me set the stage. First of all, two good news items. Yeah. President Trump again defunds UNFPA, which promotes abortion and population control. So what's UNFPA? This is the United Nations Family, Family Planning Association. They are very pro-abortion. They also fund, China's family policies of sterilization and coercive abortion. Well, guess what? President Trump, he's made certain that they're not going to receive $32.5 million in taxpayer funds.
Thank you, Jesus.
To continue pushing their population control around the world.
Awesome.
They're called the United Nations Population Fund, and they have a long history of supporting China's population control regime.
Yep.
And Secretary Pompeo said that the money, the $32.5 million, is going to be diverted, and it's going to be used instead for legitimate family planning and women's health initiatives that do not involve abortion. And there's a battle, Terry, when you got the left that takes over. Here's a battle that's chronicled here.
Right.
Family Research Council says that both Presidents Ronald Reagan, Republican, and George H.W. Bush, Republican, by the way, just my comment.
Sure.
Cut off funding to the UNFPA during their administrations. Well, guess what? In 93, President Bill Clinton, Democrat, resumed funding for the UNFPA. But for the fiscal year 1999, he signed a foreign aid appropriations bill that zeroed out funding for UNFPA. So funding to UNFPA was again completely cut off under President George Bush II, Republican. And and back when President Obama, when he resumed the presidency, he resumed the U.S. taxpayer funding, Obama, Democrat. He resumed the funding of UNFPA in 2009. So from 2009 to 2016, Obama increased the funding to over $300 million.
Wow.
Was appropriated for the UNFPA. Now, again, then we get President Trump, Republican. What did he do? He defunded the UNFPA. Terry, these Democrats, when they take over office, they take, you know what they do? It's like taking a kid by his ankles, turn him upside down because you're a big bully. You shake out all the coins from his pocket,
yep,
and then you do with his money whatever you feel like. The Democrats, when they take over the office of the White House, they shake us down like bullies, and they use our money to kill people.
Jesse, I just want to say this. The next election coming up soon, keep this in mind when you place your vote. And I got to tell you right now, I can't see any Catholic voting for a Democrat a party that's going to continue to kill unborn babies. Read my lips. Please, it's your conscience. We're trying to inform you by telling you what the facts are about this. So it's very important. I'm really grateful that President Trump has been consistent. Even before he became the president, he said he was going to do it. And he did it, and he's doing it over and over again. So I have to say, I'll be honest with you. I said it on Catholic radio and they got mad at me. I voted for President Trump. I did, Jesse. We both did. And you know
I say it all the time.
I know that, but
that's why I don't get many interviews no more anymore.
Yeah, that's okay. But Jesse, one thing I will say before we go off today, that Planned Parenthood is giving out false statistics like they did, 40, 50 years ago when they say thousands of women are going to die.
They're always throwing that number out, Terry.
Yeah, but it's a lie. Now,
this article exposes it. There's no facts behind it.
Exactly. They say a lie. Now, here's the facts.
They repeat a lie. And what did Joseph Goebbels say? Hitler's right-hand man, he says, if you repeat a lie over and over again, will believe it's true.
Well, Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who had the largest abortion clinic in the Western world, I met him recording his conversion stories and talks on pro-life because he had a massive conversion. But he was part of the abortion movement back in the late 60s and early 70s. And he told me to my face, okay, that we put out false statistics on abortion, how many women were dying. Why? Because we wanted that statistic to help persuade people to vote for abortion in New York, where he was from. And so I say this because this is the man that I got arrested at an abortion clinic back in the 80s. He was so committed that I didn't realize that we did a rescue at an abortion clinic, and I locked arms with Dr. Bernard Nathanson, and we became good friends. So I've been publishing a lot of his conversion story CDs, what he told the Irish about abortion. If anybody wants to hear it right from Dr. Nathanson, I'll send you some CDs of recordings of Dr. Bernard Nathanson, because I'll tell you, Jesse, Planned Parenthood is lying today. They lied 40 years ago. And Dr. Bernard Nathanson told me to my face that this is just propaganda.
Wow. So he was one of the engines behind the abortion movement.
Yes. And he performed over 75,000 abortions himself. And then what did he do when he got converted ultimately to the Catholic faith? He made reparation and restitution, going everywhere in the world telling people, we lied to you. And I'll tell you what, Planned Parenthood wasn't very happy about what he was doing. But God rest his soul, he died as a devout Catholic.
And you know what? That God's mercy, no matter what you've done, if you repent and have contrition,
and he did,
God will forgive your sins and remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. He will remember your sin no more. That's what the Bible says. And Terry, what Dr. Nathanson told you...
Yeah, personally told me.
You have other doctors in this article that say same thing.
Oh, yeah. It's just
here's one. Erica Sackin, a Planned Parenthood spokesman. This is a spokesman. In 2014, issued a statement by the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And it said this, quote, "It is estimated that before 1973, 1.2 million women resorted to illegal abortions each year, and that unsafe abortions caused as many as 5,000 annual deaths." Now, look where she says, "There is no citation in the statement for the estimate of as many as 5,000 annual deaths." Even though many of the other sentences are carefully documented, none of the citations around this sentence supports the figure of 5,000. And there's no explanation how it was calculated. Let me give you an example. You write a college paper.
Yep.
And if you put something on your college paper as in an essay as a fact, the professor's going to redline it. He's going to say, okay, you just made a claim right here. What's your source?
That's how it works.
This is what Planned Parenthood does. They repeat this statement.
Lies.
And guess what? You even have pro-abortion people like Erica Sackin saying, well, guess what? There's no source for what we say. Here's another one. Kate Connors, another American College of Obstetricians, Gynecologist spokeswoman, initially referred us to a report, a 1958 report that said, quote, "A plausible estimate of the frequency of abortion in the United States," she said, "this report contained no mortality rates or an explanation of the 5,000 death estimate, nor did any of the other materials sent by Kate Connors." So another pro-abortion spokeswoman is admitting, guess what? This whole 5,000 people that were annual deaths as a result of not allowing abortion, guess what? We have no source for that document. We have no source for that number. And here's another one. Here's a huge one, okay?
Oh, yeah, they're all in.
Okay.
Yep.
There's a bunch of them that confirm what Dr. Nathanson told Terry.
Yep.
"Some 30 years ago, it was judged that such deaths might number 5 to 10,000 per year, but this rate, even if it was approximately correct at the time, cannot be anywhere near the true rate now." Teasy and Sarah Lewitt wrote in Scientific America magazine in 1969, okay, that the National Center for Health Statistics listed 235 deaths from abortion in 1965. Total mortality from illegal abortions was undoubtedly larger, than that figure, but in all likelihood, it was under 1,000. Teasy and Lewitt, who wrote for this scientific magazine, were honored by Planned Parenthood in 1973 with the Margaret Sanger Award, which is the organization's highest award. And in 1972, the Center for Disease Control, check this out, the federal government's arms, okay?
Yep.
The number of deaths in the U.S. from legal abortions was 24, and from illegal abortions, 39.
Yeah.
This was a year before Roe versus Wade. This is according to the Center for Disease Control. Terry, this, and one last one, Stanley Henshaw from 1979 to 2013, she researched abortion statistics at the Guttmacher Institute. Again, she's pro-abortion herself, and the Guttmacher Institute favors abortions.
Yeah.
Stanley Henshaw said that he agreed with the assessment of Tietze back in 1969, and in the 1960s, the officially recorded number of deaths from illegally induced abortions was under 300 per year.
Yeah.
Terry, this whole thing of 5,000 to 10,000, is it, they pulled a rabbit out of a hat and they keep repeating a lie just like Hitler said to do it.
That's right.
And people will begin to believe it.
Yeah, and this all sets up with Rules for Radicals with Alinsky, Saul Alinsky. This is how they try to persuade people. But Jess, the last couple minutes, I want to focus on the solution, the facts about who Jesus Christ is and his bride, the church. Think about what Jesus, how unique Jesus Christ is in our faith compared to any other religion, Jess. Tell us a little bit what you usually can share with us regarding the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this is the good news. Yeah. And here's the good news.
Go ahead.
That man does not have to suffer an eternity in hell without God. Why? Because God himself has provided himself as the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And those of us that follow him, cling to him, are going to be saved by him eventually. And those who reject Jesus and reject his church, those people are going to be damned. And the heart of the good news is this. Is salvation can be had by every person on planet Earth. And while it's true that God loves us unconditionally, and God can save anybody, God does not save us unconditionally. It requires cooperation. We must repent. We must believe in the gospel. We must be baptized. We must have faith. We must have a life of prayer. That means having a relationship with God. We must turn away from our sin, all sin. And if we do so, the good news is that we can be saved and be in heaven one day.
I love it. That's why we're here, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I want to ask you to take a look at LifeSite News and read what U.S. Bishop calls out the brother bishops of Bishop Strickland. It's so inspirational to hear a bishop preach the truth with such clarity. Jesse, what state should we be living in?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Get your soul in the box, as Doug Berry says. If you're in sin, get your soul in the penalty box, and let's get right with God.
Don't forget the women's conference coming up September 7th. It's filling up fast. Call 877-526-2151 or go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Love to see you there. Got a great lineup. May God richly bless you. And as we say here, full sheen ahead. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.